All right, we are knocking down the giants. We're getting near the end of the giants. Last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the giant of what? Depression. And we talked a lot about skills, about how to conquer that. Anybody feeling better? Anybody working on those skills? You feeling a little bit better? Great, thank you. Great, that's awesome. And so today we pick up in another one of the giants that faces the Christian church. Facing your giants, and this one's going to be pessimism. Negative. I see somebody smiling. I don't want to look at you, Whitey. Pessimism. It's all good. It's all good. Pessimism. You know, looking at the glass and saying it's always half what? Empty. Anybody do that sometimes? Look at the glass. Two people. This is awesome. Next week will be on lying. It'll be on lying. Don't we all do that from time to time? We look at life and just say, you know, it's just, thank you, Mike, for just negative. I mean, it's just, and that's a large part of who we are. We just, you know, we look at life and we don't see the big picture sometimes, right? Sometimes we look at life and we don't see the big picture. I'm going to pass out two sheets of paper, and I don't want this side talking to this side, okay? And you guys pass them all through the church, and you look at it, and then you know, when I ask you what you see, you tell me what you see, okay? We're going to do a little test here today. Pessimism. It's a little test. It's a little test. We're going to see if both sides can get this, okay? When I count to three, everybody yell out what you saw. One, two, three. Oh, man, you're all pessimists. Every one of you are pessimists because nobody saw the white paper. Isn't that something? I mean, isn't that something? You stayed focused on the what? On the dot. But the dot was such a small portion of what? The white paper. You focused on what? The little thing. And did you not stay focused on what? The big picture. But how many of you saw the dot? But you saw. Because you instinctively looked at what? The small picture. You looked at the dot. You didn't look at the big picture. I did not put this up there, but Luke 15:11. I tell you, for some of you who like to memorize scripture, you should memorize this one. Put it in your heart. It's not that hard. John 15:11 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that your joy may be in you, and your joy may be full or complete." You need to memorize that. I want to tell you about a fellow I did some research on. His name is Roy Perino. And he has a job in Orange County, California. Most of you would not like. Roy Perino in Orange County, California has a job you probably wouldn't like. What do you think his job would be? If you could think of all the jobs you wouldn't want, what would be? Huh? A dishwasher. A dishwasher, okay. A plumber? Who said no? What's that? Not only does he clean the sewer, Leonard, but he cleans the county sewers. Every day of his life, he goes into the Orange County sewer system. In case you don't know how big that is, you can walk in it. And every day, he's in the sewer, walking. He's dodging the used needles. He's dodging all of the muck that might come from toilets in Orange County, California. Every day he's down there in the sewer, cleaning it every day. Fact is, he said, it's kind of like climbing into a big toilet every day of his life. Every day. He says that he has to psych himself out to go into that job every day. Anybody want that job? To climb into a sewer system? And I think that probably some of you have to psych yourself out every day because you're in a sewer too. You see, some of us get up in the morning and we dread the whole aspect of getting out of bed. We get up in the morning and we climb into the sewers of our life. Well, he's dodging hypodermic used needles. That's true. And he's dodging other stuff that come down from the sores. That's true. And he's scrubbing the sores of all of that stuff that you would want to think about that would be in a major county sore system. That's true. But some of you are in the sewers of your life too. Because every day you get up, you have to brave toxic attitudes. And you have to avoid discarded relationships. And you have to fix problems that you don't even want to look at. The truth of the matter is, some of us get up and go in sewers every day. The sewer of your life. And you look at that and you say, I don't want to do this not one more day. Not one more day. I don't want to do this one more day. So what are we going to do about that? You see, this fella gets up every morning and he has to psych himself out to climb down into the sewer. And some of us have to get up every morning and climb down into the sewer of our existence. And that's true too. Go to that stupid job I don't like. Go sit with them stupid people I don't like. Not here, of course. What does it mean here? You know, be at that dinner with my family I can't stand. Oh, we all have those issues in our lives. We climb down into the sewers of our lives. And you know it. And I know it. And the reality of it is that our negativity consumes us. Our negative thinking consumes us. And we have to psych ourselves out just to exist. I want to tell you about the queen of all pessimism. And she did a commentary on the 23rd Psalm. How many know the 23rd Psalm? How many know the 23rd Psalm? Well, this woman is the queen of all pessimism. Unless there's somebody here who wants to take her place, she's willing to move. The queen of all pessimism. And she did a commentary on the 23rd Psalm. And her name is Ina Wiener. You know her? Anybody know Ina Wiener? Ina Wiener, and she's doing the 23rd Psalm. This is what she said. Here's the commentary on the 23rd Psalm. I'll have Sue read it. First verse, like that.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Her commentary is, shall not want? Give me a break. I want lots of stuff. Fact is, I want everything. Shall not want? Give me a break. I want a nicer house. I want a better job. I want a pay raise. I want people to do what I say when I say. And I wouldn't mind winning the lottery either. Give me a break. I shall not want. Yeah, right. I want lots of stuff.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters.
I got a problem, she said, with the whole concept of makes. I don't like anybody making me do anything. Make me to lie down in green pasture. Sounds to me a little bossy. First, you say I can't want things, and now you're making me do things. I don't like this whole concept. Making me, and now telling me I don't want things. Not too cool with me.
He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
I don't want to be guided down the paths of righteousness. I prefer the more scenic routes of life. Like maybe lead me to Hawaii. That'd be good. Or I'll even be willing to go to Vegas. That'd be good. But I'm getting a little tired of the paths of righteousness. Next thing I know, who knows, you might be leading me down a dark alley.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Ima says, what am I doing walking through the valley of the shadow of death? I thought you were going to help me lay down in green pastures. Did you make a wrong turn in life or something? And you call yourself a shepherd, leading me someplace I have no reason even going?
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Hey, tell you the truth. You know what I'd rather have? A fishing pole. Rod and staff are not my idea of comfort. A rod and reel? I'll take. A 16-pound bowling ball? I'm in. A back massage would even be better. But the rod and staff thing? Nah. I didn't sign up for that. I'm not so cool with that.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Oh, great. Ima says, of all the restaurants in the world, You choose the one where my enemies are eating. I'm sure I'm going to relish every bite of that meal. You put me right at the table where they are. And now you want me to sit down and what? Eat? I feel like I want a what? Yeah, you got the idea.
You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over.
Hey, you know what? Really, I don't want oil on my head. Shampoo, that's okay. Oil, not so good. And for goodness sake, can't you stop pouring when my cup is full? I mean, really? Hot coffee all over my hand? What is this? What kind of waiter are you? How would you like to have stuff poured all over the table when you're sitting down to eat?
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Hey, wait a second. I don't want confined to a house forever. That sounds like a prison to me. Confining me in your house forever? Hey, you know what? It might be a nice thing to step outside every once in a while, maybe every 1,000 years, a step outside. I will never understand why people like that stupid 23rd Psalm. Kind of silly, huh? Wonder how many of us believe the same thing. I wonder how many of us think the same thing. We look at that 23rd Psalm and say, it doesn't make too much sense to me. Making me, leading me, putting me with my enemies. Doesn't sound much like a picnic to me. Sounds more like something I don't want to do. It might possibly we see life that way. It's quite possibly we get into circumstances and we look at all the other stuff and we say to ourselves, this is not what I signed up for. The reality of it is, brothers and sisters, our hearts and minds are like a video camera. It was Al. Al just told me that the church that he's also associated with us might want to do a video cast of the service and put it on a program on a TV. That's awesome that they want to do that for us. But here's the deal. Video camera and the person in charge of the camera zooms in on what? Well, in this case, it would be me. But in a video camera, the cameraman zooms in on what? Don't make it hard. On whatever he decides to do it. And every one of us, we have a video camera in our hearts too. And we get to zoom in on whatever we want to see. Every morning you get up and every morning you go through your daily activities, your heart focuses in on what you want to see. How many know that's absolutely true? I passed around to you a big white piece of paper with a little black dot. And your brain went where? To the dot. Your heart focuses in on what you want to see. And had I not have told you I want you to look at all the white paper, had I not, and I did that to you every single morning, and I never said a single thing, guess what you would see again? The dot. You will not do that again. When somebody says to you, hey, what do you see? How many of you are going to say, I see the white paper? That's what you will say. Because your mind will now be focused on what? The white paper. And so your brain and your heart will take you where? Not to the dot. Your brain and your heart will take you to what? The paper. When you got up this morning, where did your heart zoom in on? The negative stuff? I came here yesterday with Sissy. We came in the morning. We came again last night. And we were chipping away at the ice. And we pulled down here after Sissy was counseling somebody. And I was visiting Sonny and Judy while she was counseling somebody. And we came back here last night. And I pulled around. I said, man, Sissy, look at all the black dirt. I said, look, somebody can park there. And somebody can park there. And somebody can park there. And what did I refuse to look at? The ice. I refuse to look at the ice. A couple people texted me, it doesn't matter who they are, the people texted me and they said to me, hey, we still have a lot of ice there? Well, good question, right? One person texted me and said, oh, the place is the park. Hey, two different ways of looking at life, right? How many understand two different ways of looking at life? Hey, is there a lot of ice there? And somebody else said to me, hey, the place is the park? Whoa. Is that a different way of looking at the same situation? It clearly is. It clearly is. One person sees what? The ice. Another person sees the what? The parking spaces. What do you focus in on? When you get up in the morning and you look at life, or you're going through your heart's day, what is your heart focusing in on? What do you see? A king had two servants, and he said to his servants, to the one he said, I want you to go out into the kingdom, and I want you to tell me how many different kinds of weeds are in the kingdom. And so he left and he went out. To the second servant, he said to him, I want you to go out and tell me how many different kinds of flowers are in the kingdom. You get the idea? To the one, he says to the one servant, I want you to go out into the kingdom and tell me how many different kinds of weeds we have. To the second, he said, I want you to go out and I want you to tell me how many different kinds of flowers we have and come back and give me a report. The first one comes back and says, oh, I have never seen so many weeds in my entire life. There are weeds of every kind. The fact of the matter is, there are so many weeds in your kingdom, there's no room for flowers to even grow. And the king said, oh, I didn't know there were that many weeds. The second one came back and said, King, we are so blessed. I see nothing but flowers everywhere I look. There are flowers of every kind. Your kingdom is beautiful. There's hardly even a weed anywhere. Which one was right? Both were. One purposely went on into the kingdom looking for what? Weeds. And guess what he found, Char? Weeds. If you purposely get up every single morning and you look for weeds in your garden of your life, what are you going to see? Weeds. You'll see weeds of every kind. But if you get up in the morning and you're looking for flowers, what are you going to see? Flowers. That's the way life works. That's the way life always works. Turn in your Bibles, please. Luke 11:9.
So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you.
Seek and what? You will find. Find what? Who said it? What's the answer? Whatever you're looking for, guess what? You're going to find it. If you came here this morning looking for ice, guess what you're going to find? Ice. You'll find it. It's out there. How many saw ice out there when you pulled up? Who saw ice when you pulled up? There's. Thank you, Lily, for being honest. I appreciate you so much. Put a star on your paper. You're going to get a prize for that. When you wound up out there this morning, there is what out there? Ice. How many also saw a lot of places to park? If you pulled down the driveway and you said, oh, I bet there's going to be ice down there. I'm going to slip and I'm going to fall. Guess what? You will slip and you will what? Fall. But if you got here this morning and said, man, look at all the places to park. Life is great. You'll find that too. Seek. What will you find, Dave? Whatever you're looking for, you will find it. How many know that's absolutely true? Absolutely true. Whatever you're looking for, brothers and sisters, you are going to what? Find. Moses sent out 12 spies to look in the promised land. 12 spies. He says to the 12 spies, I want you to go out and report to me what you see in the promised land. So 12 spies go out, 12 spies come back. 10 of the spies say what? Oh, don't go down there. Oh, don't go down there. Those warriors are bigger than anybody. They could be in the WWF, they're that big. But they didn't say that, but they probably would have said that. They are giants. They looked at the land of honey and they saw cholesterol. They said, we're not going down there to land of milk and honey. You get caught in the arteries down there. Don't go down there. There's just so many people. There's warriors down there. There's no way we can ever win. Two of the 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb, come back and said what? It's great down there. There's no way we can possibly lose. Come on, let's go. Let's go take what is ours. Did the 10 spies make up what they saw, or did they see it? How many know they saw it? They saw it. They didn't make it up. And then the other two spies, did they also see what they saw, or did they make that up too? They saw it. The 10 spies focused on what? On the dot. They focused on the issue. The other two spies, they also saw the dot, but they looked at what? The big picture. How can we lose? We have God on our side. And when you focus on the little dots in life, you are excluding a very big important part of a Christian's life. And that great big important part that you are eliminating is who? God. You're looking at the dot. You're not looking at what? The big picture. Jesus says, seek and you will find. And what will you find, Dave?
Whatever you're looking for.
That's it. You'll find it every single time. You'll find it every single time. Jeff Foxworthy. Where's Chrissy? Chrissy. Jeff Foxworthy. You might be a redneck. How many's ever heard him? You might be a redneck if your name starts with Christina. Come on, are you proud or what? You proud? In fact, she teaches me how to talk North Carolinian. Y'all. How many of you got a little redneck in you? See, we're all proud of that. We all got a little redneck in us. Well, Jeff Foxworthy, he's a funny guy. Well, Jeff Foxworthy's stick is, you might be a redneck if. Well, let me give you one. You might be a pessimist if you expect the worst to happen. Every single time. You might be a pessimist if you expect what? The worst to happen. A guy decides to start a hot dog business, so he buys a hot dog cart. Now that might seem like a ridiculous thing to you. It's not so ridiculous if you know some of these hot dog guys. In Tarentum, where I work, you pull down past Gatto Motorcycle Shop, and on the right-hand side, there's a big sign in the dirt. It says, the hot dog guy's here, and you have to pull up in line to get into that little parking space where this guy is. He has a trailer selling hot dogs. You have to wait in traffic to get a hot dog off this guy. And so this guy decides he wants to start a hot dog shop. So he gets a cart. He loads up with some hot dogs. He starts going into town selling hot dogs. It's going so well, he has to buy more hot dogs. He can't believe his good fortune. So he's got this hot dog cart. He's loading up with hot dogs, and he's just selling hot dogs like crazy. What a good fortune that he had. His son came home from college after graduating with an MBA. The son says to the father, what are you doing? Don't you know how bad the economy is? Don't you know we're going to be in a depression? You better watch your expenses. Don't you know how bad things are? Well, the father listens to the son with the MBA. He says, oh, you're right. I better scale back. I don't want to be stuck with a lot of hot dogs I can't sell. And so he starts to buy half as many hot dogs as he was buying. Now, he's selling them and all, but the people in line to get the hot dogs, guess what? They're not getting any hot dogs, so they go off to somebody else. Well, my son is right. So he gets half as many hot dogs again the next time. And so he sells all the hot dogs, but all the people who are buying hot dogs for him, guess what? They leave because they're not buying hot dogs. And guess what he says? Boy, my son is right. Economy's bad. My son is right. We're in depression. Can't sell any hot dogs. What? Is that you? Do you listen to everybody else? Are you listening to what everybody else tells you and you buy that as truth? You listen to what everybody else is saying to you, and therefore you take that as gospel? Let me tell you something. The way you choose to see the world creates the world you see. We run that by you again. The way you choose to see the world is the world that you will what? You will see. The way it works. The way it always works. If you decide to get up and you want to see junk, guess what you're going to see? Junk. Every single time. Every single time. If you choose to see the world as bad, you will live in a bad world. It's the way that it is. Negative attitudes will always produce negative circumstances. A pessimistic outlook on life will create a depressing world to live in. Anybody want to live in that kind of place? I just don't. I just don't want to live in a place like that. I just don't. How many's got problems in this world? How many's got more blessings? It's the truth. Guys, it's the truth. If you focus on your problems, you're going to be depressed. You focus on your blessings, you will be happy. Pessimists always look at the black dot. You will be depressed You will be depressed and you will be sad if you focus on the little things in life. How many have little annoyances in your life? Sissy and I went to a picnic for our foster daughter's son's graduation. I said that right. I said that right, Sean? Yeah. Foster daughter's son's graduation. And we kind of raised this little guy. He's not a little guy now. His name is Daniel. And he had a picnic at North Park. It was a great picnic. Great picnic at North Park. And all of our relatives were there. And I had, where's Riley? Riley was there. And Jonah was there. Right? Remember? And we had Layla and all the cousins were there. And we went to North Park and they had scrumptious food, didn't they? Didn't they, guys? And we were playing games. But there was a problem there at this place. Little gnats. And they were flying around everywhere. Remember them little bugs, Riley? They get in your eyes. Anybody been around that kind of stuff where those things that fly in your eyes and inside your ear? You think they're laying eggs in your brain or something, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm just saying. And man, all of our family was there and the sun was shining and food was scrumptious, but them little pesky little gnats. Riley and Jonah and me and Layla and Selena and Jacob, we said, we're going across the street. We're going to play on the swings. We let little teeny gnats, what? Control us. Ain't that crazy? Man, how many of you ever been to a picnic and a fly just keeps bothering you? You had that? You go to the picnic and that fly is like zooming in on you. I mean, even if you walk away, it follows you. Anybody have that pesky fly? Oh, is it crazy? Literally, oh, no matter where you go, you want to just, you know. And then you go through the Christian thing. Should I kill him or should I not? I'm a Christian. I don't want to kill it. Should I kill it? Should I kill it? I mean, Moses, would he want me to kill it? Abraham, my patriarchs, why did Noah bring a fly? I don't know. Should I swat it? A fly can ruin your experience. Is that not true? You know, you all have flies of some kind. Oh, we all got those little things, don't we? How many got the little things that just drive you crazy? The little things just set you off, don't it? It's the big things you see coming, you just say, yeah, but it's them little things. Oh, them pesky little things. Let's turn to Genesis 37:8.
His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said.
Who's having a dream? Anybody know the guy's name having a dream? Joseph's having a dream. He says to his brother, "Hey, in my dream, I see these sheaves of wheat and some are bowing down." Did he say to his brothers, "I'm going to rule over you"? No. Did he even insinuate that he was going to rule over them when he told them about his dream? No. What does brothers insinuate? "Oh, so you're going to reign over us, huh? You intend to reign over us. Will you actually rule us?" And they took what he said and they added them into it. Ain't that something? I wonder how many of us are given a little speck can we make in a mountain before we're done? I wonder how many can make mountains out of mole. How many of you are mountain makers? Two, and you're married. Oh, that's bad. That's bad. It's okay. That's okay. Mark, can you get my office done really quick? I need some scotch. How many make mountains out of molehills? I mean, you can just take a little thing and go, whoa! They interpreted the dream that Joseph told them, but they left somebody really important out of the dream. Who was it?
God.
Who's the one that gave them the dream?
God.
So they interpreted it based upon whose understanding? Theirs, no theirs. They left God out of the picture. Totally out. They just put themselves into it. Genesis 42:6.
Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the person who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground.
Whenever, and obviously it came to pass, whenever you interpret your circumstances, You have got to put God in the picture. Now listen to me. In my Wednesday night Bible study, we're talking about growing in the faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And whenever you put God in the equation, you must put God of the Bible in the equation. And not the God you made up. How many know some of you have your own understanding of who God is? Some of us put God in a little box. And we put the box in our pocket. We take the box to Sunday morning. We open up and say, God, you can be with me today. Right on, I'm in church. And we define that God in a little box. It's not the God of the Bible. And in order for you to able to interpret your circumstances, you got to let God out of that box. And you got to know that God means good for you. There was a person where I work at, a godly woman too. She got out of her car last week. And I know some of us have done this too. The door was open and she forgot that she opened it when she went back into the car to get something out of it. Anybody see where this is going? Yeah, she opened the car door and she turned back around to get into it. Boom! Oh, split her head open. And she went to the hospital. She couldn't remember what day it was. And she's still not at work yet. She's struggling from time to time. And, of course, they passed around a card, and everybody had to sign the card, and they gave the card to me. And I saw all the well wishes in the card. And I simply said, her name, hey, praying for you, Pastor Tom. And underneath my name, I put Jeremiah 29:11. That's what I put, Jeremiah 29:11. How many know what that pastor scripture says? Anybody know what that pastor scripture says? Okay, this is what it says. In case you do not know what it says, remember it. For I have plans. I know my plans. I have plans for who? You. I have plans for you. Plans to do you what?
Good.
Plans to offer you a future with some what? With some hope. I know the plans I have for you, thus saith the Lord. That's what he said. And I wrote that on a card. She texted me. Now, she's still recuperating. She texted me and she said to me, simply, very short, I can show it to you. Thank you, Pastor Tom. I needed to remind him of that. God will work through this too. Amen. Because see, what happens is, you have to understand that in your circumstances, you have to put God around the dot. You have to look at the dot, your circumstances, but you have to put God around the dot. Fill the page with God and say, okay, God, what are you going to do with this? Well, why would God do that? Because he loves you. He's going to work it out. Will he work it out according to your understanding? No. Will he work it out according to his understanding? Yes. Always. 100% of the time. You might be a pessimist if you focus on failing instead of succeeding. You might be a pessimist if you think about failing and not succeeding. How many's ever heard of the flying Willendus? The flying Willendus. Ah. How many said, man, they're crazy? Ah. I can't walk without falling on a level ground. That'd be job security for you. The flying Willenda, physical therapy. The flying Willendas. Well, Carl Willenda of the flying Willendas was famous for his tightrope walking, and then his career came to an end, unfortunately, in 1978 in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Carl Willenda is amazing people with his tightrope ability. Anybody see one of those Willendas walk across Niagara Falls? Oh, what? What? I don't want to get too close and get water on me. Carl Willenda, in 1978, has a tightrope stretched across 76 feet high buildings in Puerto Rico, and he's walking across, and unfortunately, guess what happens? He fell. And of course, falling at 76 feet in the air can cause some problems. It's not the falling that really hurts. It's that sudden stopping part that wrecks it all the time. And he died. This guy that has been tightrope walking for decades falls. I'm talking to his wife. Talking to his wife, and they're offering their condolences. And When his wife had later learned that he fell, she gave, and I wrote it down, an interesting explanation. This is what she said to the paper. All my husband Carl thought about for 3 straight months prior to his accident of falling was this. It was the first time. It was the first time that I can remember my husband laying awake at night, putting all of his energies into not falling. We'll run that by you one more time. Carl Wallenda from the Flying Wallendas, for the first time in his life, based upon his wife, was focusing more on not what? Falling than in walking. He was more determined that day of not to what? Fall instead of what? Walking. Ain't that something? You talk to a prize fighter, a boxer, who'll be boxing somebody. Talk to them about what they're visualizing before the fight. What do you think they're visualizing? Winning. There's no way they can lose. There is no way he's going to lose. And the minute he starts to become afraid of the other opponent before he gets into the ring, what's going to happen? He's going to lose. Because he's concentrating on not what? Losing instead of concentrating on what? Winning. Same with football teams. I'm hoping Tom Brady concentrates on losing. Every football team they'll be playing right now will be concentrating on what? Winning. Do they go into it concentrating on losing? No. I wonder how many of you, me included, think that way about life. You get up in the morning and you're already a loser. You got to go to that same mundane job that you go to. Your circumstance in life is just horrific. You know everything's going to turn out bad. You already know it's going to turn out bad. You're just going through the motions of life because you know it's going to be bad. And then you're surprised when it's what? Bad. I don't understand it. Yes, you do. How many know what self-fulfilling prophecy is? Sure you do. In many ways, guess what? You planned it that way. Because you did not focus on what? Walking. I'm going to close with this story I want to tell you. And I can't tell you this person's name. There's a woman where I work. She's probably my age, maybe a little younger. Of course, most everybody's younger. Even Alf. Which you remind me of. There's a woman where I work. She's not a staff member. We'll say she's probably in her 50s or so. And she was involved in an accident. And the accident left her with some head injury and some impairment in her motor skills. And she's had some trauma to her brain because of this accident. It was a motorcycle. And I was in one of the places where I work, and I had a group of people in a circle around me, and I was doing a Bible study, and I was singing to this group of people, about 30 people or so. And one of the people to my left, about 4 people around, had to use the restroom. And this person to my left had a walker, a rollator, we called them. And you can see that she was struggling to get to the restroom. And she raised her hand for an aide, but the aides were busy and they weren't paying attention. You can see that she was in some distress. And so she got up as best she could, and she's using her roller to try to get to the bathroom. You guys understand this picture so far? Okay. And I'm singing. I'm thinking to myself, what should I do? Should I go help her? But she's a woman, so I can't. You got the picture? And this woman, who's there maybe a week now, brain trauma, definitely some problems with some impairment physically, got up out of her chair and she's going like this. She's dragging her foot. And she helps that lady. She grabs her around the arm and she's struggling to get her to the bathroom and flicks the switch. Now that is an optimist. That's an optimist. She thought, you know what? It's not going to hinder me. Somebody needs help and I'm going. That's an optimist. I hope as I continue my life, I have that attitude. Regardless of my circumstances, I am never going to stop helping people. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
That's an optimist. That's a person not looking for sorry for themselves. That's a person looking sorry for somebody else and says, you know what? I can do that. And she came back to the circle when I was done. I put my arms around her. I whispered to her. I said, well done. Well done. Well done. And I'm not making fun. She said to me, Thank you. I said, you're welcome. That's an optimist. What's your problem? What's your problem? I'm sure you have one. I'm sure everybody has one. But is it that dot in the picture and you quit looking at all of the God around you? How many know God around you is bigger than that dot? Bigger than the God. So we'll finish with this next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that we know that your hand is involved in my life. Yes, it is so that I have stuff in my life. But Lord, you are surrounding that stuff with me included. And we can do this, Lord. Lord, thank you so much for being our best friend. As Lily had said, thank you, Lord, for giving us a ring shaped as a cross. Lord, thank you, Lord, that today I learned from Lily to be reminded I have a best friend too. Thank you, Lord, for out of the mouth of a babe to remind me that we have a BFF too. So, Lord, thank you for a BFF, the God of the Bible who gave us Jesus because he loved us so that I can do all things. I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. And all of God's people said, amen.